Yep. That we can. That's a good thing.
This is Lauren Lynn, author of The Recalcitrant Project, and this is Comic Pop Library.
That's not really her style. And they all got the same heartbeat, but hers is falling behind. Nothing in this world could ever bring them down. Yeah, they're invincible, and she's just in the background. And she says, I wish that I could be like the cool kids, 'cause all the cool kids, they seem to fit in. I wish that I could be like the cool kids, like the cool kids. He says I'm talking with a big smile, haven't got a clue. Yeah, they're living the good life.
Hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Visits, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jonathan
and Logan.
And in today's episode, we are visiting with Lauren Lynn again, the author of The Recalcitrant Project and the series The Secret Watcher. So Lauren, thank you for coming back on again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, and if everybody remembers, we visited with Lauren back about 60 months ago when the Recalcitrant... this is a hard title.
I know, I'm sorry.
Just remember that the middle part is calcium.
It's true. If you remember, we visited with Lauren about 6 months ago about the Recalcitrant Project when it was first coming out as a pre-pub. It's been a while, so I've been able to read it, and some of the others have also. So we're going to just have a little bit of fun talking about the book, visiting about it, and some of the questions that we had during that episode were kind of answered after reading the book, so I understand now some of their answers, Lauren. So, because I think the first, one of the things we asked was, okay, is this going to be a series? And you were kind of like, I don't know, it'd be kind of hard, and I kind of see that now after reading it, so I understand.
Well, the funny thing is that now that it's been released, Wyvern's Peak has asked me to write another one.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, you could try for doing it in the same universe, but not same characters. Way to get around an issue.
You are right, but it is the same characters. It is begun. Oh. I was working on it today in your honor.
Oh, my gosh. There's some breaking news for everybody. So here I thought I was correcting myself, and Lauren's correcting me again.
No.
Well, the way you...
Oh, dear. That squeaking in the background? That would be my dog participating with us, nice. With his squeaky ball.
There you go.
Thanks.
Nice.
Same fun with everybody, so...
Oh, dear.
Well, like I said, the ending of this did work as a standalone novel. I understood where you were coming from with that now. But I could also see, if you wanted to, you could stretch it into a series. But I did see where it was, like you said, it kind of ended. And it was a good ending. I appreciated it. So I could see it going both ways now. But so you're involved with writing that. Do you want to give a tentative timeline, or is that too early in the stage?
It's actually too early for me to say that, because we have some other projects going on. Wyvern's Peak has decided to pick up the Secret Watchers series. So we are working on right now going back through Visions. They're going to recover it, add some art to the inside, and we're going to rework the story, tighten it up, and do some of those awesome things.
Okay, cool. And when she mentions the Wyvern group, if everybody remembers, that is DC and Michael McGannon. They're friends of ours as well, and they brought Lauren to us, which we're glad to call friend now as well. Hopefully, we haven't scared you off. You're back, so... That's a good thing. But this is one where, and I, let me start that over, getting tongue-tied here. Okay, let me get to my notes. I usually try to write some notes, so. All righty. Now, a lot of this is, I don't know if you call it dystopian per se, but it is after a world war, and the society is kind of rearranging itself, but it still has technology.
Yes.
So we have that being played about. So, you know, when we were first talking about all this, we didn't have all this knowledge. So we were going in blind. That's what pre-pubs are all about. So now we can have some fun. So
good.
The main character is, how I pronounced it in my head, was Elise.
Correct.
And she has a friend, Mallory.
Yes.
Which we'll get into her demise. That's kind of sad, but I can see why. But, and then the also main thing was Jill. And boy, my memory might be fuzzy on her a little bit. But it was kind of interesting. I think the very first part, you were reworking how everything started, how the war ended. And it's one of those where you could see it actually happening in today's world. Because you always have those people that theorize that, you know, if things happen, you know, government can swoop in, take control, but will they ever let it go? And that's kind of where Recalcitrant is at in your novel, is the government's kind of like, we're not letting go.
So, yep, I took the position of, they firmly believe that they are in the right. They firmly believe that they are trying to help us, and they firmly believe they're trying to make everything better. But there's a few citizens that feel like the cost of that is you've taken away all of our choices, and we want our choices.
And it's one of those where this is where you can either give some insider stuff or not. The dissenters, and this is just in my head, how I pictured it, these are the individuals that eventually make up the underground portion of the city.
Yes and no. Okay. There are some just underground people that aren't part of any group. They're just choosing not to be part of the government. Okay. But the recalcitrants are basically hiding among those people, that group of people.
Okay.
In the beginning.
Okay, because that's what I kind of got. Because with
so there's people for the government, people that don't care what the government does as long as they don't include them in it, and people that are actively against the government.
Correct.
There you go. And we kind of have that now in a sense, because, you know, some of the homeless choose to be homeless because that's what they chose. It's kind of hard to fathom, but it is a viable choice that some have made. But Elise is one of the characters that is a computer programmer. So we talked about, we still have technology. And she is working on a project that is, she believes, is a game simulator for the basically military or police force. But we come to find out that it's kind of actually being used as, kind of like a testing ground, but kind of like how to organize what I would call hunts of people they believe that aren't going their way.
Yes.
It seems like the underground, like when they get underground, well, let's back up. They take all the students up basically from this academy. And I'm sorry, I can't remember the academy's name.
I didn't name the academy. Okay. So you're actually doing wonderful.
Okay. That's good. I thought my memory slipped. So it'll probably happen later on. So you'll get me there. But they're supposed to be taking their exams, kind of like their final exams at a college or a high school, to get promoted, basically this, to a working job.
Correct.
And this kind of had, well, I'll get into that here in a bit. They're supposed to go up to the testing ground, to the testing site, but instead they get shipped down to a different testing grounds, which is this maze of tunnels, which is the underground, which Elise has been working on all this time.
Yep.
And it's like, I don't know if she's the one that began this or they began it and they're using her to their advantage. And she's not showing all her cards. She's trying to say, you know, I'm not that smart. So she's kind of a heads up individual herself. But it's like the government is having her do this so they can set the deliberate traps. And this is all in my head. It's not in the books, guys and ladies.
No, but you're right, so in where my head was at when I was writing it, that okay, she doesn't realize what she's doing, but she's setting the stuff because she's only seeing pieces of it. Right. She doesn't have the big picture. And so she's actually setting this stuff up for the government and not realizing what she's doing until that elevator goes the wrong way.
It's going down. I don't know why. That had sucky elevator music. I don't know. But they it opens up, and at this point, it's almost, it's not entirely like it, but it's almost an homage to Logan's Run or something similar to that, because these people are being basically chased because they have been found out, whether they knew it or not, through some form or fashion, that they're not really going to be favorable to the government. So they,
yep.
So I don't know, and this was a little unclear. And this you might not be able to answer if you're working on a sequel, but did they split the ranks, or did they do that in the past? You haven't wrote a prequel, but do they split the children or young adults to, like, some of them would actually go up, but like I said, the ones that are somehow recognized, they're the ones taken down?
My vision was that the entire year group was taken down into different portions of the city.
Okay.
So what this final testing is supposed to be, when they go and they're, my vision was basically downtown, and they are going downtown Portland, any downtown, but they're supposed to each go into a building where they're supposed to show their skills, be they engineering branch, be they technology branch like Elise, or be they public safety. So they've each been divided up and sent to these different areas. And then what would normally happen for, say, Elise's group is they would be in this office building, and there would be some kind of, depending on their skill set, Elise specifically, a technology issue that has to be fixed. You know, somebody's computer just absolutely is not working. How is she going to make that function?
Okay.
And that is not at all what happens.
No, not at all. And so I didn't know if this was, like I said, if some were split off and she and her, that other group were just identified, but this was just a pure test group. Like, this was the first run of the maze, basically, the first test?
Yep, they're the first test. So they've divided up all the students to get them into ones and twos so they're manageable and can more easily be picked off.
Okay, that makes sense to me now. Okay, but at future times, they could actually do that because...
Oh, sure.
Because I can't remember if she recognized one of the, I'm going to say, guards from a previous class or something. So, you know, some people, you know, the previous classes made it through.
Previous classes have made it through. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was where I was coming from with that, those ideas. And we have the Jill character, and this is where you're going to have to slap me because I'm a little fuzzy. How do I do this? She is kind of suspicious. Well, yeah, I can do this, I think. She follows through to a different event we'll get to, but they kind of see Jill, and she's kind of a friend, but kind of not a friend. She's kind of on the peripheral because of Elise's other friend, Mallory, who's kind of a, what would you call it? For lack of a better word, a sunflower. She just wants to go and attracts everybody. She wants to be friends with everybody. And she's just a happy person.
She is outgoing and very social. Elise is not. Elise is an introvert. So it's difficult for her to have these human relationships.
And this is where we get Jill's connection with Elise is through Mallory, basically. And she's like, something's not right with Jill. And we kind of lose track of Jill for a while. But her and Mallory make it out. And I'm sorry, if I was Elise, I would probably say, okay, at one point I would probably have said, okay, Mallory, you're just on your own. Because she fought Elise every step of the way.
She does, but think about where Mallory's coming from.
Oh, yeah.
She's been taken care of all of her life. The government has provided for her in every possible way. She can't believe that the government is trying to kill her. This is an accident. This is a mistake. What do you mean?
I'm more in the Elise crowd because since I, you know, been through the military and see stuff, I was like, hey, we got to go. It's either knock her out and throw her over the shoulder or drag her or something. But yeah, I understand Mallory's position, but yeah, I would have been one of those. I probably would have been a little bit more harsher than Elise. It's like, dude, we got to go. But it's a fun dynamic because, well, not a fun. It's a stressful dynamic because we are going this back and forth, and Mallory is questioning everything. And like you said, she, you know, that's how she's been raised. Anybody that's been raised in a society, you know, they're wanting to think the best of their society. They don't think anything could go wrong. So I can, you know, that's just part of human nature. They want to believe. Let me see. Where was this other part? This is one, like I said, oh, public safety officers. That's what they're called, not guards. My bad. I just came across that in my notes. Sorry, Lorraine.
You're fine. Technically, they are guards. I just took public safety and threw everybody that has anything to do with that all into one bag. So okay. If you are in the military or in the police or anything else, in this new order, it's just all public safety.
Okay, gotcha. Then we go along, and they actually come across a young gentleman, and he actually gets killed. And they do, and that kind of, you know, that's kind of a little bit of a wake-up for Luis. God, I'm thinking of Luis for something. He's one of our friends. He's on my mind for some reason. Elise is taken aback. It's still, you know, even though she knows what's happening, it's still kind of a shock. But it's definitely one for Mallory. But it's kind of like, you know, you didn't pull too many punches with that scene. It's like, you know, this is brutal. They're coming to get you. So I appreciate that. But then we continue on and we come across the next young gentleman that comes into Elise's life, and that is Bryn. And he was kind of like a graduate assistant to a degree, what we would think of in the college. Mm. He helped out the teachers because he was an older young man than what Elise is. So he helped with her grade and probably other grades in the computer area. And that brings in your other main character, but kind of not a main character. And that comes into play here after a bit. This novel, it's one that it progresses, and it progresses at a good rate. But a lot of times you're like, oh my gosh, we're going this direction. And this person's going out of the story for a bit. So readers that have read it already know this. Readers that are looking at reading this, be prepared for that, because you might get attached to a person and they're kind of out of the story for a bit, and that there's no problem. It'll come back around. Don't worry.
Focus on different characters, whether it gets back to that person and yep. They're doing that, or they get back to them at a different point. True. Changes by the story.
Because he basically tries helping them get out of the city, and this grand plan ultimately fails, and they get captured. And was Mallory killed at that point?
It's public safety that actually gets her.
Right.
They flip her switch.
Okay. So she is. Okay.
All students have been injected. Right. Think right. of it like we do with our pets today, except much higher tech.
I hope nobody flips a switch on their pets today. is your doggy all right with playing with his toy?
Yeah.
Okay. And flipping the switch is basically they're being killed.
No.
So let's put it bluntly. But and this is where the story took a different direction than what I thought it was going to be. I, you know, because when we talked in pre-pub stuff, you couldn't really say a whole lot. But man,
right.
This went into a dark area. I can see now why you said it was a darker story, because it is a little bit darker than most dystopian. They are dystopian for a reason. They are dark, but usually you see a light at the end. This one, you're kind of wondering while you're reading, is there a light? So
true, because things get worse and worse and worse. Yeah. For Elise, and you just think, oh my gosh.
So it's one of those, it's an interesting read, but it's also a little bit tough because, it like you said, Lauren, it gets darker until you do see that light eventually. And she has so many ups and downs. Can we go into all this, Lauren, or not?
I don't know. Why not?
Okay. I just want to make sure you're fine with spoilers or not.
Put a spoiler alert on the interview. It's yeah. It's totally fine with me. People can choose. I'm all about choice.
Okay. Did you have a question, Jonathan?
No, it's just going up and down when you were saying up and down.
No, she's basically captured and put in prison. And that's where the bulk of the story takes place, really.
I'm betting she was accused of Mallory's death.
No, she's just put in prison. She, well, surprising. I don't know why she wasn't killed right away. Something was recognized in her at some point, and they captured her instead of killing her.
Who, Mallory or Elise?
Elise.
Mallory's Elise was
gone.
Killed?
No, Mallory's gone. This is but Elise. Elise was captured.
Or she gets captured and killed, or
no,
just captured?
Just captured. Okay. And the bulk of the book is in a basically like a prison camp.
Correct.
And almost, maybe not, Well, it's close to what you might think of. I just went completely blank, and I'm a history major. It's a prison camp, Auschwitz, something like that.
I was thinking of like the prison camps in Germany.
That's Auschwitz.
Yeah. Oh, okay,
that's Auschwitz. So it's maybe not quite that extreme, but
no, because that was pretty extreme.
It's extreme though. This prison is pretty extreme because you step out of line and you can get killed. You know, it's one of those. But at least for some reason, and this is where I in the back of my head, this Mr. Bishop, is that who her interrogator is, I believe?
No. Mm-mm. Bren Bishop is the boy that had been her former teacher's assistant that she finds in the underground, and he helps her. Oh. So the Inquisitor is Bartholomew.
So somehow I got that mixed up for some.
That's okay. There's a lot of characters in there.
So it's Bartholomew because it's one
Bartholomew
of those.
Bartholomew Rehnquist.
I had question marks beside this because I was like, is he actually trying to help? Because she does so many things that could get her killed, but he always is there some form or fashion to stave it off. And there's others within the prison camp that's like, yeah, she needs to go. So that was always interesting. So I'm kind of like, is he an individual that is actually kind of helping the other recalcitrants as much as he can? So that's a question, I guess, if you want to answer, or if that's something you can't answer since you're writing another book, Lauren.
Bren is definitely helping the recalcitrants. He right. is part of the recalcitrants, and he was sent to retrieve her from the underground.
Right.
So Bartholomew Rehnquist, the Inquisitor, he has a reason for keeping Elise alive, but it doesn't have anything to do with the recalcitrants.
Okay.
I think I got it.
I think you got it. Okay. I might have to wait till the next book because that's still like, I don't know. There's something about him. It's like.
Well, I mean, remember the last book that we read about this? You remember what you and Logan were talking about that I disagreed with? It was.
Oh, the parent thing?
Yeah. Well.
I'm lost.
You remember the book he had us read, the
James Patterson one? Yeah, Crazy House.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows? Lorraine's not going to tell us.
No, she's not.
No, I'm not going to. It's called Recalcitrant Uprising, but that's all I'll tell you about it.
She'd be on Recalcitrant with us.
I actually like that title, The Recalcitrant Uprising.
Yeah,
but sounds good. Like trouble.
Yeah. The Empire Strikes Back. Yeah.
But I guess when you were writing this book, I guess the question in my mind is, did you realize you're going to take Elise on such a dark journey, or it just happened that naturally?
This sounds odd, but both. I mean, I knew that she needed to go on a dark journey because I had just reread Hunger Games, and so that was close to my heart. I knew that it had to be dark. If you think about Divergent, Triss's story is also quite dark. So I just kind of went in that direction. And like I had told you when we talked last time, this actually did start with a nightmare, and I have never written anything that was nightmare based.
Okay.
Now, I have never been in prison or jail or even been to Auschwitz, but as a visitor, that is.
It sounds like your kitten needs attention.
Oh, that's her puppy.
It's the dog.
With a squeaky toy.
Yeah. It sounded like a little kitten meow.
That's the squeak.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that's not the toy. But
let's hope it's
Yeah, he doesn't have a hold of the cat. It's okay.
But I have been in prison because I used to work in one for about 6 years. So it's definitely not that dark in a prison by any means. But yeah, it's one. Oh man, it's kind of like almost Hogan Heroes-ish, this story.
I did see that when I was a kid. Maybe there was a little bit that stuck in my brain.
Yeah, it was one. It's not necessarily Elise because, wow, her journey is so, it's so up and down. Because one minute she's up, thinks she's doing good, and then she gets slammed back down to earth by whoever catches her at the time. But it was the character, and I'm just completely blank, the blonde girl. She was Bryn's friend. Bryn used to be with her.
Rain,
yes, thank you. Rain. That character reminded me of something out of Hogan's Heroes, because she was the conniver. She could, you know.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, you know, she could get anything she needed, and sometimes how she had to get it, you didn't want to know. But she, to be honest, I hate to say this, but I kind of gravitated to her character, and I'm kind of like, I hope she, since you're doing a second book, I hope you bring her back, because that was they bounced off each other well, her and Elise.
Plus, with their fighting and bickering. Yes. Yeah.
And then when you brought Bryn into it as well, because you're like, oh my goodness, now we have a different situation going on, because we have a little bit of a triangle. Which I'm not sure if Rain really cares or not. The way you write her, she's kind of indifferent, but that's a lot of times a defense for people. So I don't know. Depends on how you write that next one, I guess, if you have her in there and you continue on with that kind of setup. So another thing you probably can't talk about.
Man, I'm gonna leave you hanging there.
You just kind of shot me down with all my questions.
I like her laugh. It's kind of like,
oh yes, the evil laugh. I was a villain in a past life.
You are what?
A villain in a past life.
I mean, I'm thinking that Richard is agreeing with you on here, because he's just like, you just keep shooting me down.
That's all right. I'm getting my ideas out there. Yeah. So she can tell me the next time if I'm right or wrong, or when I read it. So, but with the story, when it comes back, she actually does get out eventually. She, like I said,
I'm guessing Bryn helps her out.
And Rain. Bryn's, I'm thinking how to put this.
Kind of a jackass.
Well, kind of, but not intentionally.
But
Bryn is caring.
Yeah.
But he's almost too caring. Is that how you would describe it, Lauren?
Yeah. He's a very sweet person, and he just cares more about her than he probably should, and cares more about her than he does anything else. And I think it gets him into trouble.
And I mean, that's what I got. It's like, you know, he's meaning good, but it's like everything he does, and a lot of times he is helping her. I mean, don't take anything like that. He does help her, but it's just like, even to him, sometimes you're kind of like, back off a little bit, just a smidge, just back off a little bit. Because she's, you know, she's trying to do her bit, and he's so concerned that it almost interferes.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And you're like screaming at the book, stop, just let her do what she needs to do. So, and then you get Rain in there. He's like, go Rain, you tell them both off. Sorry, like I said, I military background, so.
What does Bryn say? Into every life a little rain must fall. Yes.
Or Rain in her emotions.
Well, Rain is the more pragmatic one. She's probably more what I've been talking about, how I would probably go about it. She's like, we got to get this done, people. You know, you're putting my life on the line too, plus a lot of other people's on the line. And she's more, I guess you could say she's more big picture. Bryn is more small picture. And Elise is just tossing in the waves, because she's trying to figure out what's happening. Because even while Bryn comes back, because he infiltrates the prison, he basically gets taken in, and it's, you know, you can't help her from thinking, what's going on? Why are you here? Why would you do this? You were free. But yeah, I don't want to give too much away.
She means more to him than logic. That's all there is to it.
True. And it ends up with them actually going back into the city eventually, because they do get out of the prison. They meet up with the people in the wilds, and that's an interesting little bit, titty bit. That's a little bit interesting tidbit, because they're kind of knocked down a notch by the commander, I guess, of that area. I don't think she's the overall commander. I think she's more just like that region, the way. Correct. I understood it. And she kind of knocks him down a notch. She's like, okay, yeah, you're important, but get your stuff straight. Because we got to go back in. And they're like, what? Bryn kind of knew what was going to be coming, but Elise didn't. So,
right.
So Elise was kind of caught off guard with that. So she has to infiltrate back into the city that she's been trying all this time to escape from and get out of the prison from. And that, it was like, holy cow. You know, I felt like, okay, felt like calling you up, Lauren. Is like, okay, you need to give Elise a break. she got away. At least give her a little bit of time. but that's what keeps the story going. It's a pace it's a comfortable pace. It's one of those that's tension. It's the tension in it. Because when she's in the camp, you don't know what's going to happen. Because, you know, this could go wrong in many different ways. And, you know, most lead characters, you think, okay, they're safe. But you get attached to these other characters. They're like, are they going to die? Because, like I said, I didn't write all the notes after she got into the prison. I just started reading. So it was the nurse.
Kate.
Okay, thank you. Kate. He's like, she becomes such an important character as well. And you're like, what's her fate going to be? And that's kind of hanging too, because I think she survives. Pretty sure. The way I read it anyway.
But I'm not that hopeful.
But it's kind of like she, I don't know if she's doing penance. Is that how I get, because she could get away too, I would think. Or she's like Rain. She's just, it's, that's just her job, I guess, in the, what would you call it, resistance, I guess. So, but
yeah, Kate, they put her in jail. She chooses to stay. She could escape, but she chooses to stay because her life is better than most of the other prisoners. And she knows that if she was ever captured again, that they would just kill her. And she doesn't want that. Okay. And she feels like she can probably do more good from the inside.
Okay. Gotcha. Wasn't sure. I, you know, a lot of these are feelings that, that you're confirming, so that's good. I'm kind of on the right track. I don't know about some of them because you won't answer them, but some of them are. So. But eventually, they get back into the city and they start basically revealing what's been happening. But it's kind of, it's just in that region. It's like I said, it feels like this is just in this city. It's not taking place where, oh, she saved the city and she saved the world. Because you get that feeling a lot of time with stories like that. But this one, I didn't get that feeling. And that's right. Where I was,
she's
like,
she's pretty much just regionally fixing things. There's a certain amount of, you know, like when you throw a pebble in a pond, there's a certain amount of ripple, but she really only fixes what's happening locally. Which is what kind of left the door open for the potential to do another book. So,
right. And so, and I asked about the series in the pre-pub because almost everybody writes in that style, and I knew the McGannons did as well. So it kind of, that's why I asked that particular question. But I could see also where this just stopped there because it was an ending point. And it's like one of those movies or books, or in this case, it literally is a book, where it ends and you take the story on from that point. You know, you can say, okay, now they mobilize and start going out around to the different areas. But it's kind of, I'm kind of excited to see what you, I hope you don't put her through the same thing that you did in this book. But kind of definitely interested in seeing what you got planned for Uprising. So that's interesting.
Oh, I'm sure everything will be lovely and perfect for Elise and nothing will go wrong. Go wrong. And right, go wrong.
And like you said, Rain will come down. So, well, like I said, this is one I enjoyed reading. I got hooked from the first page. And like I said, it's one of those that it's not going to drive you through it. It's the tension that's going to take you through it. And, you know, those journeys are just as fun as the hard-driven ones, too. So everybody out there, pick this copy up. I think you'll definitely have fun with it. And I know we just told you the whole story, basically, but we left so much out that you can still get a whole lot more.
Oh, we left a lot out.
But I remember you stated that the cover was a picture of one of your local young women there. Is she still doing cover work for you eventually, or is that probably going to change with artwork at some point?
On the cover of Recalcitrant, she modeled and we sent all the pictures in. But then this particular girl on the cover is a... I'm not the photo art technical genius. It's a like a composition type. It's not her anymore, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
It's not a real person or a real image anymore. Huh. But they use the idea of the actual model and then blended some stuff together. Yeah, it's all computer generated.
I'll be. Okay, cool. I didn't realize that was done that way. I just remember you mentioning you worked with a young lady as a model for your covers, and I just assumed that was the case with this one. So it kind of was, though, but that's interesting. Huh. Technology. Huh. These computer things I know nothing about that I'm on all the time. You are working on, you said, Recalcitrant Uprising. You said you're looking at republishing your Secret Watcher series. Do have to say thank you for sending us your care package. I wasn't expecting all five novels of the Secret Watcher. That was very surprising. I thought you, when you were going to send us something, you were going to send us the Recalcitrant project. So I was very surprised, but do thank you very much.
You are so very welcome.
And it's one of those where I'm about four books behind what I'm supposed to be reading, but they are on the shelf waiting to be read. I think William's the same way. He sent us a couple of other his books, and I'm like, we will get to them, I promise you. But probably with those...
Well, you might want to wait now till the new ones come out.
I've read DC's old one, so that's not a... You're not going to change them that much, are you?
Oh, no. But I think if you looked at an old copy and you looked at the new one, you would see that we did a lot of tweaking. Because the Wyvern's Peak editing process is quite different from what I did with Secret Watchers.
Okay.
So I'm actually very excited for it. And Michael had a bunch of ideas the first time he read Visions years ago. So I can hardly wait to hear what he has to say.
Okay. Well, that's one where I'll probably, instead of doing a book, I'll probably want to try to read the series. And that will probably take a little bit of time, and then just have you back on just to visit about the series as a whole. Because is that going to be just the Pentology, or are you going to do more with those with them, or just the five?
Owen's story is the five books,
okay.
Visions mm-hmm. through Destiny.
Okay.
I am close to finishing a Secret Watchers book that has a different protagonist. So same universe. And we are still negotiating at Wyvern's Peak what we are going to do with that. Is it going to be Secret Watchers universe, Secret Watchers chronicles? Mm-hmm. It's undecided at this point.
Okay. Well, that's cool that you're continuing on. I usually say world just because that's what I'm used to with sci-fi stuff. World building.
Sure, we'll call it the world.
world building or universe, the Marvel universe, you always think of that as well. So that's cool that you're continuing on with a different, so I can read the series and whenever we're done, I can have you back on and say, hey.
What trouble are you causing now?
Right. But yeah, those are ones that are on my reading shelf, so I'm really looking forward to those, and do thank you again for doing that. That was a very nice gesture that you did. It's not taken lightly, and it will be read, and we will definitely have you back on to discuss. And then, of course, if anything else comes up, we definitely want to have you back on and talk about it as well.
Always fun to visit with you guys.
We try to have fun. Try. That's the main thing. And I think next, we're going to work in a couple of weeks, talk to another author up and around your area.
Oh, good.
I don't know if she's actually in the Portland area. Or are you in Portland or are you up in Washington?
Yeah, technically. Portland suburbs, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's going to be about it. I think the same thing for getting in touch with you, just look under Lauren Lynn Author on Facebook. Or is it just Lauren Lynn?
I think you could probably find me either way. I should be enough places now.
Okay. So definitely look up her on Facebook and...
Twitter, website.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I can't remember the website. I forgot to write that down this time.
Oh, LaurenLynnAuthor.com.
Okay, I apologize.
Or just go to WyvernsPeak.com.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can do that, but hey, we got to check your stuff out, and then they can check their stuff out later. No.
But now I'm part of their stuff.
I know. I got to give DC and Michael some grief. So.
Oh, absolutely. Wouldn't be fun if you didn't.
They're good friends, so we enjoy them. Well, this is one where, like I said, if you haven't picked it up, still go out, pick up Recalcitrant Project. If you don't see it available in your area, look for it online. If you're really having difficulties, I know we have a copy in our library. They have a program called Interlibrary Loan, and you can pick it up that way and read it there, and then support Lauren after that with what she does, because I know some people like to test the tires. So that's fine. That's what we're here for, and then support her. She would definitely appreciate that. She, like I said, she has the previous five novels, The Secret Watcher, so be sure to look for those two. That is on your Amazon page as well, correct? But well,
you betcha. Let's
maybe, do you really, wow, we've been talking, do you want them to wait though?
Say again?
Do you want, when is the new versions coming out for them?
Oh, sorry. Visions is supposed to come out in September, and Whispers book 2, I'm DC is hoping to release in December, I think.
Okay.
I don't have my note in front of me. I may have misspoken. Okay. But September for right sure there. For Visions.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So definitely take a breather, you know, pick up Recalcitrant Project, read mm-hmm. it, and then you can go back and pick up the reissue of the first novel of the Secret Watcher called Visions, as Lauren said. So definitely help her out and participate in her worlds, their universes, whatever they're going to decide to call it. So
Dimensions.
Dimensions. There you go, Logan.
Dimensions. I will write that down.
But, well, Lauren, it's been so much fun visiting with you again. It's a blast.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Hopefully we didn't disturb your evening too much and I didn't go too off track with my ideas. So
I think you did great.
Again, check out Lauren Lynn. We've been having fun visiting with her tonight. We hope everybody out there has been having fun listening as well. We'll see everybody on the flip side. Bye now.
Bye.
See ya.
And Lauren, your turn.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening.
Standing in a crowded room and I can't see her face. Put your arms around me, tell me everything's okay.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.